Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday morning. I hope you're nice and warm. Hi, this is Steve Sapping, and welcome to our show, Enriching People's Lives. This is the second Sunday in January, so welcome. We're glad you've joined us. We hope this program is a blessing to you. Again, my name is Steve Sappington, and we've been doing the show, I guess, for about maybe this is our third month, so we're enjoying it. We're thankful for our listeners, thankful for those who've been giving us good feedback and telling us that they've enjoyed the show and letting us know they're praying for us, and we appreciate that, and we hope 2010 is your best year yet. Not your best year ever, but your best year yet. And stay tuned. We're going to be talking about how you can get a free copy of our book. The name of our book is Today's Word on Money. And you can go to our website and find out more about the book. It's www.todayswordonmoney.com. That's today's, T-O-D-A-Y-S, word, W-O-R-D, on money, M-O-N-E-Y.com. And there's a lot of information there on our site. In fact, we recently had to add a new page because we were getting so overflowing with information. On the front page there, the home page, you at the top left-hand corner, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter. Down at the bottom right, you can actually go to our archives and read our previous newsletters. You can also, there's a tab up toward the kind of the middle near the top where you can click on shows and you can listen to these shows. We're putting them in MP3 format so that you can review a show, listen to it over and over, or share it with somebody. You can read excerpts from our book. You can read testimonials and comments from recommendations from other people who have read the book. You can follow us on down at the bottom left-hand corner. You can there's a couple of places you can click on one of them to go to our blog. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. You can read sample chapters, and of course, you can buy the book. The book is $12.95, and we'll be happy to email you a PDF copy. And, of course, if you're in Texas, we've got to charge you a little sales tax. I think the total with sales tax is like $14.02 or something. So we'd love for you to read the book. I think it will bless you. I think this is a good time of the year to read the book, to get off, help you get off to a good start. The book is actually a 40-day journey that takes you through a process where we look at the spiritual components of today's financial problems. You know, it's if I look at most of the solutions that are being offered, you know, it's either more debt or spend more money or stimulus or, you know, various things, but nobody's mentioned what I think is the root of so many of these problems, and that's various spiritual problems, whether it's greed or lack of integrity or no character or dishonesty. You know, a lot of different issues. And we don't just touch on those issues, but we'll also cover things like, you know, should Christians retire? Should you have a retirement account? How much money should you keep in your accounts? Should you have a mortgage? You know, what about, you know, different ways of saving? Should you, you know, do things that are tax-free? You know, what's the best investment you can make right now? Though all those types of things are in fact, you can actually read the titles of the chapters there if you go to our website. And that's another thing. It'll give you an idea. Again, I grew up on a farm in Oklahoma, so I draw a lot from that. I guess that was one thing that helped me understand the Bible when I was growing up, because there are so many agrarian examples in the Bible. And so you know, it made sense to me when I would read about you know, harvests and planting seeds and sowing and reaping what you sow and those types of things, because I had been around that on a wheat farm growing up. So you can look at all those things on our website. But as I was saying, you can like every week, we the first person that either emails us or calls us, we send a free copy of our book to that person. So we're excited about doing that and being a blessing. The Lord has blessed us, and so we want to be a blessing. So I felt like today I wanted to read some various sources that I have, whether it's newsletters or emails that I get, and share some things about how Christians are supposed to be salt and light, and too often Christians, I think, have been, I know I've been guilty of this, you've seen the things on the old TV shows like the Leave It to Beaver or Father Knows Best, those types of shows where the wife or the mother would say, you just wait until your father gets home. And I think that Christians have been like that a lot of times too. We say, well, you just wait till Jesus comes back. Well, when Jesus comes back, it's too late for a lot of people, and it's not going to, a lot of things aren't going to need to be changed then. It's too late. The change has already happened. So I think that we're called to occupy, and I would encourage you, I think I've mentioned this on previous shows, to go to, Google Seven Mountains, Reclaiming Seven Mountains. There are basically seven areas in our culture, whether it's entertainment or sports or government or politics or education or business, various areas, and God wants us to be salt and light in those areas. If we just leave it up to other people that are not Christians, and we say, oh, you just wait till Jesus comes back, then what happens is the people in control of those various mountains or areas of our culture, well, they don't know Jesus, and so that's why you see, for example, Hollywood is notorious because there are people there who don't know the Lord. They've got lots of money and power, and so obviously they're not inclined to make movies that are wholesome and uplifting and encouraging. We need more Christian movie makers and Christian actors and actresses. So that's just one example. The same thing in politics, the same thing in education or government or business. So in my particular love, of course, is for business. And I think we all need to see ourselves as ministers, where there's a lot of people who, especially today and nowadays, they don't even go to church. And so the only Jesus they're going to see is what they see in the workplace. And so we need to live differently so that and walk closely with the Lord and listen to his guidance so that he shows us the path and the strategies and solutions to problems that the world can't solve. And guess what? When we can do that and we can present those solutions, then the world's going to listen to us and they're going to want to know more about Jesus. Think about what happened, that very thing happened with Pharaoh. It happened with Daniel, Pharaoh and Joseph. Joseph provides solutions. Daniel was able to interpret the writing on the wall. Lots of different times in scriptures did the person who loved the Lord had the answer that the person that was not a believer, that did not know God, that person didn't have the answer. And so I want to share with you some of the things that really are helpful, have been helpful to me, and you don't have to be a business owner to appreciate a lot of these things. In fact, I think a lot of this information should be just as important if you're an employee as it is if you're an employer. Many of you remember Jerry and Nan Stevens. Jerry, of course, was on the board of the American Family Radio. Did lots of advertising when he had the business here. And, of course, he and Nan have moved. First they moved to San Antonio, and now they're in Austin. And who knows, they may move back to Waco. I think they have a house here. They've got, certainly, they've got grandkids here, so they come back to Waco, and we'd love to see them more often. But they're friends, and we know them and stay in touch. And I get regular emails from Jerry. And this is an email that his daughter, one of his daughters, sent him. And I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it's a great story. And again, it just gives an example of the type of witness that we should have, the type of things that we should do, and the ways that we should be different from other people who don't know the Lord. So here's the first story. A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago, and they had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. In their rush with tickets and briefcases, one of these salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, all the men, the salesmen, managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding, all but one. And one of the salesmen paused. He took a deep breath and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. The man told his buddies to go on without him. He waved goodbye and told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination and explain that he would be taking a later flight. And then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the terminal floor, and he was glad that he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, and tears were running down her cheeks in frustration. At the same time, she was helplessly groping for her spilled produce. As the crowd swirled about her, no one stopping and no one to care for her plight, the salesman knelt on the floor with her, and he gathered up the apples. He put them back on the table and helped organize her display. As he did this, though, he noticed that many of the apples had become battered and bruised, and these he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $40 for the damage that we did. Are you okay?" And she nodded through her tears, and he continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister?" He paused and turned to look back into those blind eyes. She continued, "Are you Jesus? Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride and he wondered. Then slowly he made his way to catch the later flight with that question burning and bouncing about in his soul. Are you Jesus? Do people mistake me for Jesus? Do they mistake you for Jesus? That's our destiny, is it not? To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with a world that is blind to his love, his life, and his grace. If we claim to know him, we should live, walk, and act as he did. Knowing him is more than simply quoting scripture and going to church. It's actually living the word as life unfolds each day. We're the apple of his eye, even though we too have been bruised by a fall. Jesus stopped what he was doing and picked you and me up on a hill called Calvary and paid in full for our damaged fruit. Too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. Like I say, I don't know if that was a true story or not, but it's a great story, and the point it makes is so valid that we should act like so much like Jesus that people mistake us for him. I know that most of the time I don't do that, so that's a challenge to me. Some of you heard me speak about Oz Hillman. He has a regular daily email that he provides, and it's called TGIF, Today God Is First. And I've been to gotten to meet Oz and do a workshop with him, and he's got some great information. Oz is a former business person, and so he approaches this from a businessman's perspective. Again, if you like any of these stories or this information that I'm reading, please contact me. Because I can give you the links so that you can sign up and receive this information just like I do. My phone number is 751-0565, or you can email me at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com, or just go to the website todayswordonmoney.com and then click on the contact tab. And that will pull up my email address, and you can say, "Hey, Steve, I heard that great story you read about the guy that knocked all the apples over in the airport. How do I sign up for that newsletter? Or how do I sign up for Oz Hillman's newsletter, Today God Is First?" So feel free to do that. I'll be happy to give you that information. this is a great story about a Christian lady who was in business, and she used her God-given wisdom and listened to the Lord, and she really turned a situation that could have been very bad into something that was good. So the title of this is Using Jerry Springer to Preach Christ. The scripture is from Matthew 9, 12 and 13. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Linda Rios Brook is a businesswoman who desires to impact the culture with the good news of Jesus Christ. Linda lives on the front lines of the fast-paced world of business. A former president and general manager of a network television affiliate in Minneapolis, Linda resigned her position after making comments about her faith in her local newspaper, which subsequently resulted in a company policy which precluded officers and managers from publicly identifying with a specific faith. And just as a sideline, we've seen lots of flack on TV this past week of Britt Hume, who was on last Sunday morning show and commented about that he believed that Christianity, the principles there, and the love of Christ could help Tiger Woods turn his life around. And of course, you know, a lot of people, just reacted terribly to that. But the scriptures tell us that that the name of Jesus is like a lightning rod. Because the world has no answer for Jesus, and they try to deny him, but they can't, and so it really makes a lot of people mad. Anyway, back to the story here. Linda was approached by a Christian foundation with the opportunity to purchase a television station in her local market. The idea of managing a religious television station did not appeal to her in the least, because she knew that such a format would not sustain a for-profit business model. After losing hundreds of thousands of dollars every month in attempting to attract a Christian audience, she realized that the station could not survive without a more mainstream programming lineup. An opportunity arose to get the Rush Limbaugh program from a competitor, but only if she also took the Jerry Springer show. Linda struggled with what to do with this program, knowing that the religious community would criticize this decision. Then the Lord gave her an idea. She decided to place a rolling statement across the bottom of the page that said, "Need a friend? Call 555-5555. She decided to use the Jerry Springer Show as bait for ministering to those who might be watching the program, who she concluded represented a ripe field for the gospel. Her insight proved true. The phones began to ring off the hook, and many came to Christ as a result. Sometimes we need to get out of our religious boxes and see how we can impact the culture using even the most negative influences in our culture to do it." Wow, what a story. A lady who made some great lemonade out of what a lot of people would have considered to be lemons that couldn't be changed. That's a great story. I love that story. Here's another email I got from a friend. The title of this one is Ducks Quack and Eagles Soar. Put yourself in this situation, and especially if you're in the business world, whether you're a business owner or an employee, and think about how you can give the kind of service that this person does. No one can make you serve customers well. That's because great service is a choice. Harvey McKay tells a wonderful story about a cab driver that proved this point. He was waiting in line for a ride at the airport. When a cab pulled up, the first thing Harvey noticed was that the taxi was polished to a bright shine. Smartly dressed in a white shirt, black tie, and freshly pressed black slacks, the cab driver jumped out and rounded the car to open the back passenger door for Harvey. He handed my friend a laminated card and said, "I'm Wally, your driver. While I'm loading your bags in the trunk, I'd like you to read my mission statement." Taken aback, Harvey read the card. It said, "Wally's mission statement, to get my customers to their destination in the quickest, safest, and cheapest way possible in a friendly environment." This blew Harvey away, especially when he noticed that the inside of the cab matched the outside, spotlessly clean. As he slid behind the wheel, Wally said, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" I have a thermos of regular and one of decaf. My friend said jokingly, no, I'd prefer a soft drink. Wally smiled and said, no problem. I have a cooler up front with regular and Diet Coke, water, and orange juice. Almost stuttering, Harvey said, I'll take a Diet Coke. Handing him his drink, Wally said, if you'd like something to read, I have the Wall Street Journal, Time, Sports Illustrated, and USA Today. As they were pulling away, Wally handed my friend another laminated card. These are the stations I get and the music they play, if you'd like to listen to the radio. And as if that weren't enough, Wally told Harvey that he had the air conditioning on and asked if the temperature was comfortable for him. Then he advised Harvey of the best route to his destination for that time of day. He also let him know that he'd be happy to chat and tell him about some of the sights, or, if Harvey preferred, to leave him with his own thoughts. Tell me, Wally, my amazed friend asked the driver, have you always served customers like this? Wally smiled into the rearview mirror. No, not always. In fact, it's only been in the last 2 years. My first 5 years driving, I spent most of my time complaining like all the rest of the cabbies do. Then I heard on the radio one day that if you get up in the morning expecting to have a bad day, you'll rarely disappoint yourself. He said, stop complaining. Differentiate yourself from your competition. Don't be a duck, be an eagle. Ducks quack and complain. Eagles soar above the crowd. That hit me right between the eyes, said Wally. That was really talking about me. I was always quacking and complaining, so I decided to change my attitude and become an eagle. I looked around at the other cabs and their drivers. The cabs were dirty, the drivers were unfriendly, and the customers weren't happy. So I decided to make some changes. I put in a few at a time. When my customers responded well, I did more. I take it that has paid off for you, Harvey said. It sure has, Wally replied. My first year as an eagle, I doubled my income from the previous year. This year, I'll probably quadruple it. You were lucky to get me today. I don't sit at cab stands anymore. My customers call me for appointments on my cell phone or leave a message on my answer machine. If I can't pick them up myself, I get a reliable cabbie friend to do it, and I take a piece of the action. Wally was phenomenal. He was running a limo service out of a yellow cab. I probably told that story to more than 50 cab drivers over the year, and only two took the idea and ran with it. Whenever I go to their cities, I give them a call. The rest of the drivers quacked like ducks and told me all the reasons they couldn't do any of what I was suggesting. Wally, the cab driver, made a different choice. He decided to stop quacking like ducks and start soaring like eagles. How about us? Smile and the whole world smiles with you. The ball's in our hands. Another great story of someone who allowed a divine inspiration or great idea to make a difference in his work, and obviously he benefited from it, and his customers did also. Got one more here. The title of this one, this is another one by Oz Hillman. It's called Sacred versus Secular. And the theme verse for this is from Genesis 2:15. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Imagine for a moment that Jesus has just completed his 3 years of training with the disciples. He's been crucified and is now commissioning the 12 to go into the world and disciple the nations. Now imagine him also making this statement to them. Dear brothers, it's now time for you to share what you've learned from me. However, as you share with others, be sure that you keep what I taught you separate from your work life. The principles I've shared with you only apply in situations outside of your work life. Do not make them fit into this context. The miracles you saw in me can only be done in certain situations outside work life. Keep this in mind when thinking about praying for the sick or the lost. These truths will not work in the marketplace. Sound preposterous? It may, but this is the mindset of many in our world today. The spiritual does not mix with the everyday world of the workplace. What happens on Monday has no relationship to what takes place on Sunday, they say. These are the thoughts expressed so much in our day and time, although they're not expressed in such direct terms. Let's think more about this idea. When Jesus came to earth, how did he come? He came as a carpenter. He was a man given to work with his hands and to provide an honest service to his fellow man. He did not come as a priest, although he was both a king and a priest. When it came time to recruit those for whom the church would be founded, he chose 12 men from the workplace, a fisherman, a tax collector, a doctor, and so on. They all came from the workplace. None of his disciples were priests from the synagogue, a natural place to recruit from if you were going to start a religious movement. Jesus called them all from the marketplace of life. Was this any accident that Jesus called men and women from the marketplace to play such a vital role in his mission? I think not. Today, embrace your work life as a holy calling. Great story again. And we'll read some more of these next week. I've got several more that are just excellent. I think you'll really enjoy. I want to remind you again that I'm Steve Sappington. The name of this show is Enriching People's Lives. I hope that the information that we're sharing with you today is, in fact, enriching your life. If so, we'd love to get your feedback. Again, we're going to be looking for some folks who would like to comment on our show or would like to recommend someone to that would like to be a guest on the show. And we'd love to get your emails if you have questions about various financial topics. We would be glad to see if we could answer them for you, or at least look into some biblical answers, what the Bible has to say about various topics. Some of the things I've answered in my book, I'll be happy to read some excerpts from the book to do that. So, again, the email address is sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com, or you can go to our website at todayswordonmoney.com. Or just give us a call, area code 254-751-0565. And you can suggest topics for our show. You can, if you know of a guest or a ministry or a Christian business person that the Central Texas listening audience needs to know about, I'd be happy to get that information and to share it with our listeners. And also, we want to remind you that the first person who contacts us after the show today, we'd be happy to send you a copy of our book, Today's Word on Money. The book, again, is a 40-day study that examines the spiritual components of today's financial problems. And so the first person that contacts us, either by email or by phone, we will send you a free copy of our book. So, again, we hope that the new year is going well for you. We appreciate your listening and your support and your prayers. We look forward to sharing more with you. Again, I'll be reading some more letters next week or some emails and so forth on some great topics. This first one that I'll read next time is about Jesus and how he knows the marketplace. And I think it's going to give you some insights into you know, he wasn't just someone who put things together, but he actually designed probably some, you know, whether it's buildings, again, through the examples and the parables that he gave, it's clear that he wasn't just, you know, someone who kind of thought in small, worked on small pieces, but actually he knew about the design, you know, the structure of a foundation. You know, that's one of his parables about the you know, the person who built on sand and the person who built on solid rock. So we look forward to sharing that with you next week. Again, my name is Steve Sappington. The name of the show is Enriching People's Lives. You can contact us at 751-0565 or sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be with you next week. Give us a call or send us an email. We'd love to hear from you, and may the Lord richly bless you this week. May you receive God's very best in every area of your life. Look forward to seeing you next week.